97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We are so close to passing President Trump's big, beautiful bill here in the U.S. Senate. We are not going to let the Senate parliamentarian or Democrats or even squishy Republicans stand in our way from passing the biggest tax cut on working class families and small businesses that this country has ever seen.
Capital Beat.
Yeah, that's Senator Jim Banks there talking about that. And boy, do I hope he's right. We've got Congressman Eric Burleson on the phone this morning from Missouri's 7th Congressional District. And Congressman, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good to be back.
Absolutely. So what did Jim Banks seem to think that they've got this parliamentarian issue in hand? But Thune, the Senate leader, has said he's not going to overrule her.
Yeah, that's concerning, because at the end of the day, I think that the Senate parliamentarian often is used as a foil. Because let's say you're in leadership. Let's say you're John Thune, and you don't like, for example, the gun legislation that was put in the bill.
Congressman, can you hear me? Yeah, you're breaking up horribly. I'm not sure if listeners can hear you or not. We're getting a lot of...
Better?
Try it again.
Is that better?
Only slightly. I'm not quite sure what's going on. We must have a bad cell connection or something here.
Okay, I can call you back on a different.
Yep, we're gonna do that. Let me get you to try to call us back and see if we can get that to work a little better. I think what he's got to say here is important, because right now he's a no vote on this bill if it was to come back to the House. So we'll try to get him back on the line here in a minute and see if we can get that cleared up a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear how many other Congress members were yeses and now they're noes, specifically because of what's happened here in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I the parliamentarian issue is frustrating that you've got somebody who we know was, in this particular case, appointed by Harry Reid. Her decisions seem to be quite pointed here. Do you know she oversaw the impeachment, both impeachments of Donald Trump the first time
around?
No,
I didn't know that.
As parliamentarian, she was in charge of overseeing those impeachments. And now she's got her finger on this big, beautiful bill and has the ability to radically change it. Let's see if our phone connection's any better. Congressman, are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Much better, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. So you were saying about the confusion in the Senate.
Yeah, because let's say that this is what sometimes squishy leadership can do. They can use the Senate parliamentarian as a foil and say, if let's say, for example, the gun legislation, which is what I fought for out in the House, to eliminate the registration and tax stamps on suppressors, short barrel rifles, short barrel shotguns, is thrown out by the Senate parliamentarian. Well, the president of the Senate, they can make sure that that language is not accurate, so she does throw it out. They can also choose not to try to fight the parliamentarian or try to retweak the language to get it through. So this is something that everyone needs to be mindful of, is that, look, the Democrats passed massive sweeping reform like Obamacare and the Green New Deal, right, the IRA, all through reconciliation. And for this parliamentarian to say that you could pass those things, you know, but you can't cut them in reconciliation is ridiculous. And it's something that we need to be, you know, screaming from the rooftops and making sure that the Senate knows that this is not going to be acceptable, because it's not. If it comes back with all this stuff ripped out of it, there is no way that I'm voting for this.
Real quickly, can you explain what the Senate parliamentarian even does? Because I'll be honest, I'm not super familiar with this role, and obviously it's very key in the Senate.
Yeah, so this is all part of this procedure that was put in place that's under what they call the Byrd Rule, named after former Senator Byrd. And it was a bill that was the reconciliation bill that created this reconciliation process. And it was designed so that if government wants to correct its budget, long-term budget, and make policy changes to do that, then it doesn't need to meet the 60 vote threshold. And that's because of that. That's the way that in order to get things through the Senate, everybody tries to use the reconciliation process. And so through that process, there are rules that are part of the Byrd rule that you have to kind of get around or get through. And they basically, the Byrd rule is that it can't be substantive policy. It has to be changing things fiscally. And so that's what this is about.
So we're stuck dealing with a rule put in by, what did Rush Limbaugh used to call him? Senator KKK Byrd. And I think that's what Limbaugh called him. So just to be clear on something you said a minute ago, because if I understood you correctly, I didn't know this. Are you saying that one thing the parliamentarian affected was the gun rules that you wanted? Has that been part of the change?
Yes. Yesterday, the parliamentarian threw out all the gun bills.
Oh, my
all
gosh.
The gun rules. So, I mean, that's throughout all of our savings, the things that we found in order to pay for these tax cuts.
Right.
Throughout major substantive pieces, for example, the rule that we had that said that states can't put illegal immigrants on Medicaid, they threw that out.
Crazy.
They threw out the language for work requirements for food stamps or SNAP. Threw that out.
So
it's just crazy.
How many people were yeses before who are now noes?
Oh,
do you know?
I mean, on the House side, House members are, you know, hair is on fire. They're even people that are not necessarily the normal fighters like myself. There's a lot of people that are upset. So I've spoken with some people. Spoke with Senator Ron Johnson last night. He says, keep your powder dry. They're going to keep fighting. They're going to try to go force it back through. At the end of the day, this bill is going to. He says, you know, fingers crossed, it's going to come out better than it did from the House.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, Trent Lott, when he was a Senate Majority Leader, overruled the parliamentarian. I wonder what Thune is afraid of. I mean, are they treating this the way Republicans down here, when you used to be in the Senate of Missouri, treat the PQ like they don't use it very often? They refer to it as the nuclear option.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a great analogy. It's very similar to that.
That's unfortunate.
Because it's what, a bad look? Like, what are the ramifications if you do that? Why is it so bad for Thune to do that?
So they're worried about the precedent that it sets, so that when Democrats get back into power, that they will overrule the parliamentarian and pass even worse things.
Wow. You know, I was reading a little bit about her. I mean, I know she was appointed by Harry Reid. I wonder why there hasn't been a move to change the person in that position since 2012. Certainly Republicans would have had an opportunity to do that over the past couple of years, right?
Yeah, one would think, I think it's because this is how it was done in Missouri. I think that whoever comes in as the speaker should be able to pick all of the staff.
Yes.
So they should be able to say, okay, the clerk, that clerk was great for the previous person, but I've got my own person. I'm going to use them. And they should have to make an affirmative decision to choose who is going to be the chaplain, for example. We're dealing with a chaplain that was picked by Nancy Pelosi. So in the House, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
Mike Johnson should be able to pick his chaplain.
Yeah. Congressman, what's going on in the Oversight Committee right now?
So we are, Jamie Comer and the Oversight Committee is looking into the Biden administration and who was actually running the show or who was actually running things in the Biden administration. Because we're getting a lot of whistleblowers that are coming forward, people that may are sometimes not voluntarily coming forward, but they're in depositions telling us that Joe Biden, for example, wasn't the final say on some of the executive orders. They were taking some of that input from other staffers, from people that were in the inner circle. So that it's really disturbing, and it's something that we're going to continue to uncover.
Yeah, and subpoenas are going to be issued. Do I understand one's already been issued?
Yes, I believe
so. Yeah. I thought I read that.
I'm forgetting his name, but he was Joe Biden's top guy.
Yeah. Joe Biden's work husband, as I saw it described.
That's right, her work husband. He's the one that David Hogg in that Project Veritas video described as the one that was in charge.
Wow, interesting. Eric Burleson, we always appreciate having you on. You're a wealth of knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. Well,